The use of cameras by police departments, whether body-mounted or on automobile dashboards, has become much more common in just the past few years. Now some cities and towns, including Williams, Arizona, are testing gun-mounted cameras as an innovation. Will they be more effective? What are the concerns and possible pitfalls? With me to talk about those questions is Michael White, professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at ASU. Michael, what are the differences going to be between the body-mounted and the gun-mounted cameras?
Body-worn cameras in general are fairly recent innovation, I'd say within the last 5 years. There are a couple of police departments that have been experimenting with this, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago. But for the most part, it's a brand new invention. And the notion of putting a camera on a gun, I would say, is even more recent. Taser International started putting cameras on their Taser device a while back. But the idea of putting a camera on a firearm is relatively new.
How complicated is that? What does the technology look like?
One thing I would assume is that the activation of the camera is automatic. One of the big criticisms of body-worn cameras is that the activation is left up to the officer. You know, the officer has to manually turn the camera on, although there's some companies are moving in a direction to automate that. I assume with the camera that's mounted on a firearm that that would be an automated activation, that as soon as the officer, he or she, pulls the gun out of the holster, it would come on. So that would be the first thing I would want to think about is how that activation is going to happen. And then second, I do wonder, I was a deputy sheriff for a couple of years and carried a gun. I don't know about the implications of the camera for the weighting of the firearm. How does it affect your accuracy? Obviously, you'd have to have some more training of your officers at a range to make sure if there are effects of the camera in terms of those things that they want to, you know, they want to have, you'd want your officers to know about that and be used to that and to accommodate for that when they're out in the field.
You mentioned the activation, which is such a vital point of all of this, because there have been concerns about an officer forgetting, or in some cases, when people have questioned certain officers when it comes to this, the idea that maybe they just didn't want to turn the camera on. Is that a general concern? Is that something that is overblown?
You know, I think that's what's driving this question about adding cameras to the firearm itself. You've had, over the last couple of years, a number of very high-profile cases where a police officer used deadly force, had a body-worn camera on, and did not activate the camera before the shooting had occurred. And then, like you said, the questions then become, well, did the officer intentionally not activate it because he or she was up to no good, or was it accidental? When that happens, when you have a shooting, obviously it's a very serious event. You have potential loss of life. And if that's not recorded, then there are going to be questions from the community about why that is. You know, one of the primary reasons that departments adopt body-worn cameras is as a show of transparency, as an accountability tool. And if officers don't activate either routinely or in those most serious kinds of cases where they're using deadly force, and that's going to create some real tension with the community. And if the tension is already there, then it's going to really exacerbate the poor relationship between a police department and the community.
What are some of the biggest questions you have, other than what we talked about, maybe affecting the weight of the gun and that sort of thing, but in terms of making sure that there are advancements in what most sides at least agree there should be advancements in?
Yeah, Steve, I think the big thing to consider right now, if a department is looking at a gun-mounted camera, is whether it's going to be a supplement to a body-worn camera or if it's going to replace the body-worn camera. And the one thing I think the most important thing we need to recognize is that when you use a gun-mounted camera, you are going to severely limit the benefits of the technology. And that's simply a fact of it's because of the fact that police officers rarely use deadly force. So, for example, we know that in a routine year, we have about 40 million police citizen encounters. Washington Post released data on the number of citizens who were shot and killed, and it was just under 1,000. So the vast majority of police citizen encounters do not involve any force at all. It's about 2%. And then the serious forms of force like shootings are a tiny, tiny percentage. So basically, I've read hundreds of body-worn camera policies about, you know, when to activate. And most departments have a very restrictive policy that tells their officers to activate just about all the time. Anytime they're having a kind of a formal citizen encounter, a traffic stop, investigation of a suspicious person, all of those things are supposed to be recorded. Well, if you are going to have a gun-mounted camera, presumably then the only encounters that are going to be recorded are those where a police officer draws his or her firearm. which, as I said, is a tiny, tiny percentage. There's going to be a vast difference in the number and type of encounters that are recorded. Now, if a department is aware of that and they decide that they want to, you know, the objective of their body-worn camera program is only to capture those most serious cases, then you know, the gun-mounted camera is probably the way to go. But most departments are not like that.
Has the ACLU expressed concerns about gun-mounted cameras, and are they different concerns than what they've said about body-worn cameras?
Body-worn cameras in general, it's kind of been a perfect storm where you have different groups of folks who typically agree on absolutely nothing, agreeing that this technology is a good thing, from police leadership organizations to the, you know, to the FOP, the police unions, to advocacy groups like the ACLU. Everyone has kind of agreed that this technology is a good thing. Now, they have different ideas about why that might be, and they have different ideas about how it should play out. And, you know, the ACLU has expressed concerns about the activation question and about the amount of officer discretion that's involved in the use of the camera. So in that respect, I think they'd probably be receptive to the automated activation that would presumably then capture any incident where a police officer used deadly force. I suspect that they would probably say, yes, this is a good idea as a supplement to a body-worn camera, but it should not replace the body-worn camera.
Michael White is a professor in the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at ASU and is Associate Director of ASU's Center for Violence Prevention and Community Safety. And Michael, thanks very much for the time.
Okay, thank you.